We're doing the Doshot Aran, we're up to page Kuf Lamed Vav, in the Shalem edition, Shin Yud Gimel, in the Mosad Erev Kook edition. And the Ran had been discussing the sin of Moshe in hitting the rock, and then he went on to discuss the sin of Aaron and Miriam in speaking about Moshe, and then he discussed for a minute the concept of Ayin Hara. He discussed the idea that when one person is upset with someone else, they can affect someone else, and that part of what's happening with Aaron and Miriam was that Hashem didn't want us to think that Miriam was hurt after speaking badly about Moshe because Moshe held it against her. And that's why the Pasuk stresses that Vayishma Hashem. Hashem heard, and Hashem held it against Miriam, but not Moshe. We brought two understandings, Machlokas Tanoim, whether Moshe was present when Aaron and Miriam had this conversation about him. And nonetheless, Moshe was on such a high level, he wasn't affected. We should pause here for 1 second and remember the Chazon Ish we learned last night. The Chazon Ish had described, remember, that one can attain a level where he loves humanity, he is a giving person, he is on such a level that even though he knows others are doing things that are improper to him, he is above that. And we discussed that it's not out of weakness, it's not because a person's gullible or stupid, but because he's great. Out of greatness, a person can look at other people who are speaking improperly to him or about him, and he is not affected by it. So taking what we learned last night in the Chazon Ish, as the Chazon Ish discussed the development of a ma'amin, of a person who's really connected to Hashem, we can now understand the Ran better, right? Moshe is standing there, his big brother and big sister are talking about him. They're both wrong, but Moshe isn't affected. He's not hurt. And that's why the Torah stresses that he was, even though he was there, Vayishma Hashem, Hashem said it's wrong. But Moshe, it wasn't his Ayin Hara, as the Ran discussed last week. It wasn't he who caused Miriam to be punished. Yes?
Okay, so let me try to phrase my questions, or it's going to be best understood. I know that Moshe didn't, like when he exemplifies this trait, it is not coming from any sort of arrogance. Meaning, but it seems as though that it would. Meaning, you hear people making fun of you or something, and you say, "I'm better than that."
So that's
So I know it's with Moshe. It's not coming from that. But that's what seems most natural to where it would come from. Where is it actually coming from, Moshe, to where, you know, my own siblings are making fun of me or speaking poorly of me, and it literally has no, it's just okay, like, he's just so subjective to it, I guess is the right way to say it. It's just like, you know, but it has no actual emotional or harmful effect on him or at all.
So that's not our subject, and we spent a half hour on it last night. Meaning that's exactly the Chazon Ish. You could look, it's chapter 11 in the Emunah U'Bitachon, the 11th section of the first chapter. To get it right would take a half hour again. So you could see the Chazon Ish inside, or you could get the class. U'kdei shelo nachshov shema shenishtana guf Miriam v'chal aleha tzarat, so that we won't think that what happened to Miriam, that she suddenly has the white blemishes, she gets what we might call leprosy. We shouldn't think that part of what caused Miriam to be hurt was because Moshe was bothered, and that wouldn't be complimentary to Moshe. That would be detracting of Moshe. That's why the Pasuk takes pains to stress that it didn't stem from this at all. The reason Miriam was punished was simply because God was being zealous for Moshe's honor. Moshe wasn't aroused to hurt her or punish her or be bothered by what she said. And so Moshe's feelings didn't affect Miriam at all. That's why the verse stresses God heard. The Pasuk is stressing everything that transpired was a direct result of God's listening. And so God was zealous for what they said about Moshe. It didn't stem from Moshe because he was extraordinarily humble. He was extraordinarily humble, which is a little bit different than the Chazon Ish we saw last night. The Chazon Ish stressed that when a person reaches a level that he wants to give so much, he also understands that other people are not on that level, and he's accepting of that. On the one hand, he holds himself to a high standard. On the other hand, he understands that other people aren't up to that yet, and he's patient with them, and he doesn't hold that against them because it's up to them to grow at their pace. They're doing something improper to him. He's attained such serenity in his life that doesn't affect him. He can accept the fact that they don't, and he does. And we gave the example of a parent changing a diaper where the child gets them all wet, and the parent can smile as it happens and laughs and changes the diaper, and he's not even bothered. He doesn't hold it against the baby that's what the baby's doing. So he said, when you've developed that type of love for humanity, when you've developed that type of patience, it's not out of arrogance, but rather it's out of greatness that one can have patience for others' shortcomings and nonetheless demand of oneself. The Ran stresses it stems from Moshe's anava, Moshe's humility. Now that sounds a little different than the Chazon Ish.
If Miriam's comments were based on incorrect assumptions, doesn't Moshe have a responsibility to make sure that his actions are properly understood?
So the Gemara derives from Chana that one does have a responsibility. But two things. Number one, we don't know if Moshe had a chance, meaning God reacts. Number two, part of correcting Miriam would have been to explain to her, we're not on the same level. You know, you're equating yourself with me. You're saying, hey, Aaron didn't leave his wife. I didn't leave my husband. Moshe, why are you leaving your wife? Now, intrinsic to that was also a thought on behalf of Aaron and Miriam that Moshe was being a little bit arrogant, that Moshe held himself higher than he really was, about which it was the exact opposite, but Moshe wasn't about to tell them that. Yeah, and Moshe wasn't about to say anything, so they think I'm wrong, okay? You know, but...
just on that, the analogy with the baby who, you know, wets you, that's not so hard because we obviously know the baby shouldn't know any better. Where it becomes such a challenge is when you feel the person should know better. Then I think the only thing you can say is that God's trying to show me something with this, and the person's just a vehicle, because to not blame the person or to not feel somehow, hey, this person just isn't at that level and I love him, that may be so and it may not be so. As you said, when someone asks for forgiveness or something, you know, hey, you should know better. No, you're not sincere.
Not being sincere is different than not being on the level. I'm saying that's...
Do we know that the person is just being lazy and is not on the level? Or, is, you know, we all slip when we could do better, and sometimes we really can't do better. We're not at that level. That's for God to know, not for us to know.
Right, so why is it my job to judge him? What I know is that he's not fair to me.
I think it's okay. Great with what doesn't. I'm just saying it's much, much more difficult than the baby.
It's more difficult. I was just giving it. Okay, so last night I said when we read this in the Chazon Ish, most of us have no clue what he's talking about. Meaning it sounds like we're reading about some kind of theoretical. You could read about communism for the same price. And like there's this beautiful utopian world where everyone's just giving. Yeah. So you read it and you don't know what they're talking about. I only worry about myself. My neighbor only worries about himself. You're talking about a world where everyone worries about everyone else and not themselves. We read it, we don't understand. So I gave the example of a baby because I said the only time which I could think of that we encounter it is that type of scenario. Because most of our lives, we do not behave this way. It's so foreign to us, you could be talking about a Martian. You're talking about a human being who can view people with such love. Maybe, right, theoretically. Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
A good eye on steroids.
Oh, so that's right, right, right.
That's the goal. And I guess, you know, we shouldn't be hard on ourselves if we're not at that level either when we didn't look at it.
Right, but something to aspire to.
Yeah, that's good. So it's not like the baby's easy. I mean, for most people, sometimes that isn't even easy, but that's bad.
There's a machlokas about the word anava. When we speak about a person being humble, what does humility mean? So when I was growing up, they always said Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was great, but he didn't take heirs for that. He knew he had a job in the world. He was just doing his job. So, okay, you know, you grow up with a given, and every year you hear it again, you just assume that's true. Until I came into Rav Chaim's commentary on Pirkei Avos, where he writes, Moshe didn't know he was great. So that was mind-boggling to me. It was like shattered something that was like a given my whole youth. That being humble is not contradictory to knowing how great you are. So not everyone agrees that. So there's another way of understanding humility. We have to really discern between humility, anava, and shafluta ruach, being of a low spirit. So I don't know if I should slaughter some holy cows here. Maybe not yet. Okay. Yes, you want to slaughter holy cows. No, I feel like this isn't like...
We don't have so many holy cows anyway.
Are we opening Pandora's box here?
It's good.
Okay. When we think of Moshe's humility, so again, we're tempted to think, I'm going to open a question which I don't have a clear answer to. We're tempted to think, okay, Moshe knows he's great, but he's accepting of other people and he doesn't take credit for it. He realizes that 99% of everything we do is God and he's just doing his job here, etc. That's the classical interpretation. Now let's analyze a quote from Avos de Rabbi Nasan, the following medrash, and let's see if that really fits into that definition. It says there are all types of boils. There are all types of people that have all kinds of skin diseases. And then there's one which the medrash says is the worst of all. You walk on a bus, everyone else walks off. Everyone's scared you're going to sit next to them, right? And it says that Moshe was more humble than a person who has that type of boils. You'd say a person that has a skin disease and notices everyone taking a step back from them is humble? Is that the word we would have used? If humility is the way we like to say, that doesn't sound like it's humility, right? We would think that a person that has a skin disease and everyone walks away from them has an issue with self-confidence. He has an issue with the way he's perceived by society and eventually the way he perceives himself. Would we call that humility? What's the Medrash saying when it's saying that Moshe was more humble than the most disgusting person that knows that everyone's staying away from them because it's revolting to sit next to them and they're concerned they're going to get the disease? So I think it's giving us a different approach to what humility is. So again, I said I'm going to open a box which I'm not going to close. I'm just pointing out that when the Ran says that God stood up for Moshe, and it wasn't Moshe standing up for himself because he was so humble, so I'm not sure how to understand that line of the Ran's when he says, because Moshe was so humble. How does the Ran understand the word humility? Yeah.
Maybe what it means about the skin disease, it's just like a person who has like a really bad skin disease when he walks on the bus and everyone walks off, that person might, other than the skin disease, might be a very great person, but he realizes that he can't judge other people because he's not perfect and everyone's judging him for that skin disease. And so he realizes that it wouldn't be fair for him to think he's greater than other people because just like he's less than other people, less than everybody even, in that issue, other people might be greater than him or less than him on other issues.
I like what you're saying. I would support it with another thing we discussed last night. In the Parsha class, we discussed the Gemara that a good leader has a kupat shratzim. The Gemara says he has a bag of vermin behind him. He has something to be embarrassed about. And it says, the way Rashi interprets the Gemara, is that if he has a dark history, if he has some skeletons, then he will be more accepting of rebuke. Then he like you said, he understands his own imperfections. It's a little bit different than the way we learned a month or two ago, than Tivot Shalom, on the idea of Moshe's humility as seeing himself as a barrel of water next to the great sea. where he feels like, what am I? There's this whole great tzitz. It's not, so you're saying a different level. You're saying, I'm not as perfect as everyone thinks. I know what I am. So therefore, I view people otherwise. Okay, I hear. Yeah.
There was a 60 Minutes on less than a year ago about a woman and a husband and a family that were taking a plane trip, like a private plane. Beautiful, rich people. That everything always went right for them in their lives, type of thing. And the plane, when it was landing, didn't land correctly and came into like a fire explosion. It was just the woman and the husband. Now the husband was like ejected from the plane, and she was caught in the plane and was basically being burned alive, and someone was able to pull her from the plane. But she had extensive fire damage, and she was in the hospital for weeks. They didn't know if she was going to live or die, what the extent of the damage would be. And she said that she prayed to God constantly throughout those 3 weeks, and made all these deals with God. If you heal me, I'll do this. If you heal me, I'll do this. If you heal me, I'll do this. So she ended up being in perfect health, except for the sight of her skin. She looked completely different than how she looked before. Her family almost couldn't, her children almost didn't recognize her when they saw her. And she says that her deal now is to keep her end of the deal that she made with God. And also, she sees the world differently. When she goes to a store and people see this person that looks completely different, she's on this different level where she's so thankful to be alive and so thankful to have this connection to God and to be able to raise her kids again, that when people look at her and they walk away, she's able to tell her children with love, it's not because, you know, it's because they don't know that they're looking away, as opposed to it's that surface level. So it could be the same, is that people can get to that level where they overcome whatever boil disease that they have.
I don't see that. I don't think that's what the Medrash means. I don't think so. Yeah.
I think that the ability is not looking at it as a defect. Looking at it, society says this is a defect. If I have to go on a bus, I have to expose, you know, put myself to the public in such a way. I realize that most people are going to react in a way that is, hopefully not everybody, but most people will react in such a way like my presence is offensive. But if I realize that, you know, this wasn't my conscious choice, Hashem created me that way, and in the same way in reverse, if he gave me 180 IQ and he gave me great charm and he gave me great looks, you know, that's also not for me. It's what I do with it. So the ability, I think, in this definition also is, you know, being not realizing that there are things beyond your efforts, and as in your example, making the better of it, the best of it, and trying to be thankful for it, not confusing, you know, your gifts for your efforts. You know, Moses, if somebody else was given the Paro's upbringing in his house and his greatness in so many ways, maybe they would have done better. Maybe they would have accomplished more. When we first come to a shul, and shul takes half an hour to put the film on, they're already done with this one. It's a little embarrassing. No, I mean, you try and realize, hey, Hashem wanted me and born in Mea Shearim, go off him, be like this. I would have been. But if I have this skin disease or dyslexia or whatever people have, that's something that, you know, for the reasons I don't understand, Hashem gave me that. And I don't think I'm better or worse because of it. Society's going to react in a certain way against it. That's my challenge to deal with it. Like in your example before, with Moshe saying, you know, they don't understand, they're not at this level. The person who runs off the bus is a normal, not at this level. Hopefully there'll be some people who don't. I don't think my wife would have run off that bus. You know, I mean, I think that's humility, is to realize, you know, what you've received, that isn't like a correction in this lifetime, you know, something you're born with. I'm not saying if you lost your hunger and bite your tongue, it's too obvious, but if, you know, you're born 5 foot, no, 4 foot, 8, you know, if you're born, you know, with a weight, huge problem, no matter how you eat, you know, skin disease, these are things that are from Hashem, and they're given with love that you don't maybe understand how to overcome. I think that's humility, is that to know it and to live it is a different story. But at least I think that's what we should try and do. But we can't change to realize for the good and for the bad. As you said, if you're given Moses level, you got a big responsibility, and you're this level, that's your responsibility. I think, I don't know, I want to belabor this thing. Maybe
So basically, you guys are suggesting that the idea is that we're talking about someone who has boils and is very spiritual. Well, I didn't understand it that way, but okay.
The point is, in order to cope with it without sitting there in a shut-in and to be so, you know, feeling, like you said, develop terrible self-esteem issues and all that, he's got to be spiritual. Otherwise, he's going to be depressed.
I hear. Okay.
Maybe the fact that he's getting on the bus at all shows that he's,
Okay.
I mean, like, if he knows he has this problem and people are just going to clear off the bus, maybe he would try and find what, if he had self-esteem issues, he would be trying to find ways not to be in the public eye so much. But the fact that he's getting on the bus to begin with is a sign that he's trying to...
That was me. The Talmud just says, you know, a person who has the boils. I gave the example. Okay.
Well, obviously, the Talmud doesn't mention the bus, but...
Right. Okay, so let's just get one more paragraph in before we go to the run. Yeah.
And I feel that everyone getting caught up with the whole bus, not bus, how people would react. But I think it's not about that as much as the fact that the person himself who has the disease, if someone had to come to him and say, wow, you're the best whatever in the world, you're the smartest guy in the world, let's say, you're the smartest guy in the world, you have this terrible skin disease, he would find it hard to be particularly proud of the fact that he's the smartest guy in the world, because he knows still that people would condemn him for skin disease. That's what I think. I know, that's why I understand it, I think. But, you know, people are condemned for skin disease. You know, people have better skin than he has. So who's he to be so proud that he's the smartest guy in the world, kind of thing?
That's his problem. That, he shouldn't think that. If tomorrow everybody played violin better than you, would that take away? Might take away from your parnassus, but it wouldn't take away from the fact that you put the effort, the time, and this. And Hashem decided to give other people a little more talent this way. There are people who can, you know, not study and ace the test. There are other people who have to work real hard just to get a D. I mean, who's worth more?
Yeah.
Who's the Rav who comments that Moshe didn't know and really knows?
That's Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim of Elazhin. The only issue I have with that is that he didn't actually write it. It's a student who wrote the commentary, so I always wonder how accurate the student was in writing it exactly right. When he writes that, I don't know. Okay, let's get one more thought from the Ran.
That's just like tradition. Like, okay, so there's two traditions.
I don't know yet. I told you, it's something I'm myself I'm looking into. I don't know yet. It's only been 2 decades. Give me a little bit more time, okay? I'm still looking. I don't know. I don't know. If אמנם שיהיה אפשר שיבוא זה מכוח הנפש כבר ברור אז על מסך שבת אמרו שם. This idea that one soul can affect other people, so we were introduced in Tractate Shabbos. The Gemara says, אמנד מאדים יהי כבר השכדם יהי. If a person was born in the zodiac of Maadim, what they call today Mars, I don't know what that means, so then he should know his tendency is going to be to spill blood. Ravashi says, okay, he's going to be either an armed bandit, you know, that's how he'll spill blood, or he'll be a doctor, he'll let blood, or he'll be a butcher, or he'll be a circumciser, a moel. So Rava the Kohen says, yeah, I was born under that star. So Abaye says, yeah, you also administer the death penalty, right? So the Gemara says, the Talmud indicates here that one soul can be set up in a way in which the soul can affect others. We have to wonder when we read this idea. The simple reading is that there are external forces that affect us as to whether we will pursue mitzvot or be rebellious with sin. The Talmud seems to say there that if a person is born under the zodiac of Tzedek, so then he's going to be a righteous person. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak spells it out. He says, under that zodiac, he's going to be pious in mitzvos. And the flip side, if he's born under the red star, he's going to spill blood. Now that doesn't seem to work. If we are so affected by external forces, how can there be reward and punishment? So the Ran says there are really two approaches. There are two answers to this question, and he's going to deal with the Rambam, who deals with this question in his introduction to Pirkei Avos. We're going to follow the Ran Bezrat Hashem starting next week as he addresses this question. Obviously we have to deal with the Talmud in Nidah, where the Gemara says that before a person's born, there are many things decided before he even comes into the world, but not whether he'll be pious or sinful. That's not decided, that's left to us. So how do we balance that with the idea that we're so affected by the zodiac, the way we were born, or what we might say today, our predispositions? And we're going to have to pay attention whether the Ran is going the same route as the Rambam, or there are going to be nuances of difference between them. So that's Bezrat Hashem, we'll pick up here next week.